so ready for this today. Yes. Yes.
All right, let's go. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is Season 5, Episode 6 of Sticky Pickles, Patsy's Predicament and Leftover Lasagna.
Alliteration Central.
Not on purpose,
I like it.
But we're just leaning into it today. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So, Carol, why did I decide to sing your name like that?
I don't know. I love it.
Yeah,
you can sing my name anytime. You got a great voice.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. No,
I'm all distracted now. Your sticky pickle, Patsy's predicament. Tell me.
Okay, this is a bit of a beef bus here. Okay, you ready?
A beef bus. Oh, a bus full of beef.
Beef drama.
Beefs.
Drama
okay,
beef.
There are beefs, and I will try
drama
not to poke,
jerky.
I will try not to poke holes in your drama jerky beefs.
Okay, yeah. So the one thing you're not allowed to say is, would I do that? I would never do that. Okay, that you have to just pretend. You've got to just channel.
Because
channel.
I wouldn't do most things because I don't live a very interesting life. So that's
exactly. You wouldn't be in a sticky pickle.
Does not make for a good podcast. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Your life just goes along swimmingly.
Everything's great.
Okay, so meet Ed. And
Ed.
You need to know for the story that Ed lost his parents young and was subsequently brought up by his maternal grandmother.
Okay.
And according to all accounts, Grams is practically a saint, right? Volunteered for 30 years at the homeless shelter, went to every single school event, worked as a nurse and to provide Ed with all the stuff he needed.
Good for you, Grandma. Gave him heaps of love, praise, guidance.
Yeah, good for you, Grandma, right? And in short, he loves her and she loves him, right? And it's all fantastic. And she's getting it on. She's getting on a bit, right?
Oh, wait. She's getting it on?
That was a slip of the tongue.
Okay.
She's getting on.
She's getting on. Is she secretly a Nazi? Like, what's the twist here? Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no.
Whoa. That went dark quick.
It did.
Okay, well, hold that thought.
Oh, no, put a pin in the Nazi thing. Oh, Jesus. All right.
But last year, at 86, you know, she was starting to have trouble, and ipso facto, she moved in with Ed and his wife, Patsy. And they converted the garage into a little Graham's wee flat.
Aw.
And they played bingos on Saturdays, and Ed pushes her along every nice evening in a wheelchair right outside. They eat regular meals together. And look, in short, if you ask Grans, you know, what she thinks, having lived there for almost a year, she's like, she loves it. I get to see my grandson every day. I get to stay in his beautiful house. I'm so proud of him.
Mm.
And you ask Ed what he thinks, and he says, oh, it's fantastic. You know, it gives me a chance to give back. And I love making her happy and spending this quality time together. It's really important now. And you ask Patsy, and she smiles.
Yeah.
Rather, like, tightly. Little tightly on the mouth, little tight, because there's a kind of a problem. Well, and if you ask Patsy, you have quite a big problem. And it's Graham's a complete shit. Okay.
Oh.
Graham's is a complete shit to her, but she only does this when no one else is watching. And that's a ton of time because Patsy works from home and Ed teaches at the local school.
Okay. Can you? So we have elder abuse going on. Is that what's happening?
No, we have elders abusing.
Elders abuse. Okay. So I was like, I'm getting my names totally mixed up. So
right. So Patsy's wife. Patsy's the wife. Grams is the grandma.
Okay.
Okay.
Grams is grandma. Okay. So the wife is being ill-treated, not nicely treated by Graham when it's only daughter-in-law and Graham time.
Right. So things like she'll ask Patsy to pick up her crossword book from the floor because it happens to fall down. And then she rams her really hard with a wheelchair when Patsy's bent over. Or when Ed's at work, Grams will lock her door and put on a movie or her music or a game show or whatever, but super loudly. And she never does this when Ed's at home. And on the rare occasion that Patsy complains through the locked door, Grams shouts, "What? I can't hear you," and cackles.
Okay, so she's being an asshole. All right, yeah.
She's being an asshole.
Yeah.
There's a few occasions where she's, like, Patsy's convinced she just poured in a bucket of salt into the evening meal or secretly jacked up the oven. And then when Patsy was like, we better get takeaway, she was like, oh, Patsy, you try. Don't worry. Everyone makes mistakes. Shitty behavior, I would call that. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely shitty.
Yeah.
Two-faced.
Yeah. Two-faced.
And there's no indication that Graham's ever done this before with anybody else.
Nope. Not that we can know at all. Everyone thinks she's a saint. And for all intents and purposes, she is, right? The house is littered with pictures of the two of them together. In her room, she's got all her certificates that she's won. She's won like the mayor's award, key to the city, all this stuff.
Jesus. So basically, it's just something about Patsy brings this out on her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you can guess the problem, right?
Nobody believes Patsy, right?
Patsy has not actually spoken to Ed about this yet because, A, she has no evidence. She'll say things like, oh, it's weird that the dinner is salty, and Ed will just go, oh, yeah, well, you know, sometimes you put too much salt. Like, everyone does that. No biggie. Like, he's none the wiser.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to blow that relationship. It's very important to her husband.
Okay. Yes, I'm... Okay. Yeah, this is tricky.
I know. Okay. Thank you.
It's quite the predicament.
Shall I give you another segment?
Yes, please. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. I mean, short of being like, get some nanny cams and record what the fuck's going on. Okay. Yeah. I don't.
Patsy decides she cannot say anything without evidence. So she secretly webcams the house, Maria.
Okay. Yep. All right.
And she does this when both Graham and Ed are out at one of their little things, right? And she does the secret spying things in the picture frames and in the mirrors and knickknacks around the house. You know, all the spy junk crap.
Okay.
And soon she gets tons of footage. Like tons. Like Graham's dropping her glass or plate on purpose and just going, oops, when Patsy runs in. Whipping out her cane on purpose to catch Patsy in the shins so she kind of trips up.
Yeah, yep.
Like, there's no question when you see this that Patsy has put up with a ton of crap from this woman.
Yeah, I can't imagine saying nothing, but okay, yeah, that's... It's not me. Yeah, it's not me.
Yeah. Okay, so what would you do?
Well, I mean, she's gathering evidence, presumably because she wants to use that evidence, right? I think she's at the point where she feels like she has to say something now and she's not going to do it without.
I think she almost felt gaslit because it's like no one else sees it. It doesn't happen to anyone else. Everyone thinks she's a superstar. She's the only one who's experiencing this, yet when other people are around, she treats her completely normally.
Okay. If I was Patsy's friend and I was the only person aside from her that knew about all this and she told me what she was maybe thinking of doing, like showing her husband, I would say you need to prepare yourself for not being believed. Because there might be one of those like, oh, she didn't drop that plate on purpose. It totally just slipped out of her hands. You know, she's got Parkinson's or...
Oh, good, Maria.
Or, you know, she's... That's not...
She has arthritis. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't be unreasonable. Like, you know, she's old or the cane just slipped out of her hand. You know, it's waxed or something. I don't know.
Yeah. She's 86, for God's sake.
Yeah. Why would you make these? Like, there's got to be a reasonable explanation why Graham would, like, this stuff would be happening.
So she's looking at the videos. And she's starting to see that it's kind of actually a little bit hilarious, this old bat running around the house, you know, doing these crazy things. So she starts doing a bit of editing and a bit of knitting scenes together and stuff.
Okay.
And this emerges into this incredibly comical, right? This 86-year-old sneaking around in a wheelchair causing absolute havoc.
But only to Patsy.
Only to Patsy. And Patsy decides that she can't tell her husband, but she cannot not let the world see how amazing this is. So, you know, she's responsible, quote unquote, and pixelates the face to anonymize it a bit.
She puts it on TikTok.
And then slaps it up online under the heading, forget MIL, get ready for GMIL.
Oh, no.
And she gets a lot of support and love from this. People love this shit.
Yeah.
Graham goes viral.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And she feels quite good about this. She's like, okay, I can deal with this now. Like, I've got someone on my side. Like, it's I've got my a compartmentalized situation.
Oh, this is good content. Oh, I see. I'm okay with this because this is feeding the algorithm and it makes good content. All right.
Well, it makes me, no, but it makes people see what I'm like. People are going, oh my God, I can't believe she did. That's outrageous. And she's like, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's feeling like her feelings are validated. Like, she's got, even though she's not, you know, identifying who she is, there's a kind of acknowledgement.
And nobody's going, oh, this is totally fake. Like, this is staged. those people are me, by the way. I'm that person.
Yeah. Okay. So the sticky's coming. Okay. The sticky's coming. Because Ed finds a camera in his mom's room.
Yeah. That would be, that's a violation of privacy. So that's, you know, alarming.
Yeah. Her sitting room, not like her bedroom, bathroom, but yeah, in her sitting
room.
Yep. And I hand over to you now, Maria. What should Patsy do now?
You hand it over to me now.
Hi, honey. What's this?
This is when I would get my phone out and start showing the videos. I genuinely, like, what was Patsy's end game here? Like, was it really, I just want my videos anonymously to go viral about my predicament? And with like, does she want this just to continue indefinitely? I mean, is she somewhat...
She's getting a little bit of joy out of something that's pretty shitty for her.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be like if she just finds this slightly annoying and doesn't feel like it's a big enough deal to escalate, for lack of a better term, then it's like, okay, this 86-year-old is driving me crazy, but it's not enough where it's like, oh, I'm going to kill her if this doesn't change. Like, again, I'd just be like, what was her end game? Like, what was she doing all this for? I can't imagine she's like, yeah, I'm totally going to go viral.
I think it snowballed. I think the whole thing snowballed. I think, you know, at first she was like, I can't believe this person's doing this. How come he can't see it? How does she always get it right? How does he not see anything? But I think, to your point, she probably did slip up, but he doesn't see it because he doesn't want to see any of this.
I mean, it is, I suppose, possible that Graham really does only do this with Patsy because, like, she hates her for some completely ridiculous reason. Like, I hate her hair color, or her name annoys me, or...
Or I hate her for marrying my grandson.
Yeah, or like...
She's not,
yeah,
good,
not
enough.
Good enough. Or just, I'm bored. I'm 86 and I'm bored.
Yeah. I'm bored. Like, how many crossword books are you going to buy me? Jesus.
Yeah. Seriously. Like, I just need some excitement in my life. I mean, people do stuff like this. And, you know, she's around. So I'm just going to pester her. Yeah.
You're right. You're right. Patsy should have just bought her a vibrator, not videoed anything.
Oh.
What?
Don't buy
What's
somebody
wrong?
Else a vibrator.
Well, not a used one.
I feel very uncomfortable buying somebody's grandmother.
I have bought many vibrators.
Have you seriously,
people,
really? Wow.
Yes, I have, for good close friends who needed a bit of loosening up. And no one's complained.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
I would not feel comfortable doing that, but that's me.
No. Your birthday's coming up.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I think grandma's just bored. I think grandma's just bored is my answer. Yeah, maybe she just needs a vibe. That's right.
Maria!
Teeing me up there. Lasagna.
Maria, leftover lasagna. Tell me your sticky pickle.
My sticky pickle is derived from one of my own many points of social anxiety. Almost infinite points of social anxiety for a person like me.
Like a constellation of stars.
A constellation of social anxiety stars. Yes, we're continuing the space thing. This situation involves potlucks. And mm-hmm. I feel like things like potlucks, because there's, at least in my experience, no central agreed upon set of customs, it can really vary from group to group and subculture to subculture, like what's okay and what's not. So
yeah, for those of you who didn't go out before COVID, this is where people would actually share meals, like if from one dish, and then use a single spoon to serve it onto their plates. I know, insane.
Yeah. And the idea is that, like, everybody brings something, right? And that, you know, mm-hmm. the host might be providing the gathering place and one item. But if you're inviting a dozen people over, it's a lot to cook for a dozen people. So if everyone brings a dish, then we share the burden, right?
Okay. Yeah. So, and I love a potluck, actually. I love that.
Me too. I actually really love hosting them, especially. So this is sort of a question out of selfishness. Like, I'd love to know your thoughts on what to do, but let me tee up the story there. So we have Rosa, who is not me. Rosa is the host of the potluck, and the reason she's not me is that she has zero social anxiety.
Okay.
Blithely unaware of any problems. And then the hero of our story, or the person who's actually I'm more concerned with right now, is our buddy Jerome. And mm-hmm. Jerome is a pretty great chef, honestly. He loves to cook. He's not like a professional, but he's like you and me, Carol. He cooks a lot. And after years and years of experience, you get to be pretty good at it. And, you know, people complimenting him on his great cooking skills. And generally, when there's a potluck, people make a point of going like, oh, I cannot wait to see what Jerome's going to bring, because he always does an amazing dish, and it's always something incredible.
Yeah. Like, and then he walks in with a turducken or something.
Yeah, but like, he pulls it off. Like, it's something like, no way. And then he's like, oh, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah.
And so Rosa has been hosting a bunch of potlucks with the group of friends that Jerome is in for a while. And Jerome is so popular with that group that Rosa decides to sort of like open up the potluck social group to include friends from her other groups of friends. This is important. Like, I used to have just one group of friends, and then as I get older, I started to sort of separate people out. I mean, I think it just happens on its own. It just kind of needs to. So Rosa is inviting more of her outer group of friends that don't usually know Jerome to her next potluck. And Jerome is happy to meet some of them, which include David, a guy who's awesome, always brings apparently like at least two bottles of good wine, like the good, mm-hmm. like not just the cheap stuff from New Zealand. Like it's really
wow. See, the stuff in New Zealand here is quite expensive.
Really?
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Maybe the only stuff that I can get in the States is like the bad New Zealand. It's probably what it is. It's the bad New Zealand wine that we're getting.
Does it come in a juice box? No, I'm kidding.
No. That at least would set my expectations well. David always brings like good from any country of origin, including good New Zealand wines, as I don't want to alienate our New Zealand friends. He brings the good New Zealand wine. And he sometimes even brings his own homemade beer. Like, incredible stuff. He's got, like, a kegerator. He's a good brewer. So he's got the news. And then Rosa's got this other friend, Michelle, who cannot cook to save his life, but he always brings armfuls of, like, the really nice prepared foods from, like, the super expensive specialty grocer. You know, the ones where it's like they always have stuff that's only in season from local farms, and they do the trays up for takeout, like the gift takeout trays where it's got like the ribbon. And it's
I love a shit hot bodega. They cost a bomb, but I love them.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're the best. And so like Michelle knows he can't cook, but he's like, I will make sure to drop a pretty penny on the good shit from these guys. And it's like always, and he always has like generous portions of it, too. So he's not being stingy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these two other friends of Rosa's at these parties that Jerome is not a fan of. And this includes Tay, who, bless her, she tries. She brings like a tiny little thing of Jell-O, like not even in a mold. Like one box.
Like just in her hands.
Yeah. Loose Jell-O in her hands. It has some cat hair. You have to pick it out, but you know, technically it's edible. No, okay.
She does.
she pulls it out of her shoe. No, it's just like, think of just a plain glass bowl. Just a plain glass bowl.
Because Jell-O tastes so different if it looks like a fish. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
No,
but
like it, but no effort. Like literally, she just opened the packet of Jell-O into a glass bowl. She didn't even add like. She didn't even pretend to try to add like a thing of canned fruit to it or something to try and dress it up. And it's not even nearly enough for more than like two people. It's like it's a comically small portion of Jell-O, and it's like cherry Jell-O. So, you know, what are we, 5 years old? Anyway, and sometimes
my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the.
I don't really like you taking on Jell-O, actually.
I do. So to be clear, I like Jell-O, but if that's all you're bringing to a potluck when everyone's bringing their A game, it feels a little bit like. Especially when it's a
So if she
portion.
Had rainbowed, if she had done like layers of different colored jello and put fruit in it and crap, you'd be like, all right, you put some effort into that.
I'd be like, you put some effort okay. into it. But like if you literally just empty a packet into a plain glass bowl and it's not even like you didn't even do two packets. You did one tiny packet of jello, which mm-hmm. again, like is not very much. For a big party, you know. Anyway, I'm going hard on the jello. Sorry, guys. sometimes Tay can't even bother with the jello, though. And sometimes she'll just buy like three slices, one of those tiny supermarket cheese trays where it just has like literally three slices of cheese in it. Mm-hmm. It's basically meant to be like a snackable for an adult between meals. And she brings that as like her thing for an entire party.
is she cheap or is she frugal?
Yeah. I would say she's cheap.
Okay.
Nobody in this group of friends is financially hurting. Like, there's no element of like,
right.
hey, they can't afford it. So we can take that out of the equation. This is somebody who's just not. And then in addition to Tay, there's also Angelo, who literally doesn't bring a thing. He just shows up empty handed to the fucking potluck, which is like the cardinal.
Is he
thing.
Sexy?
He's average. Like, so he's not even bringing eye candy.
He's not even bringing eye candy.
In the form of himself. He's just showing up to eat.
Oh, okay.
But Rosa loves Angelo because, like, they're old buddies. So she kind of gives him a pass. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Jerome's like, every time they have a party with this group of this larger group, he's up in his game every time. So the first time he brought lasagna, which is a crowd pleaser and easy to make, but it takes some time. Like, you got to layer all that shit and it takes some time to bake. Second time, he makes a homemade lemon meringue pie.
You know, actually, pause. I don't think lasagna is fucking easy. I find it hysterical that people say, oh, it's super easy. Oh, what a joke. You got to make a fucking sauce. You got to make a cheese sauce. If you're making your own fucking pasta, you got veg in there.
Oh, well,
it's ridiculous.
It's that way. Yeah. There's some shortcuts you can take.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm just thinking, I'm guessing if he's upping his game, he's doing a little banger, right? And he's got his like three different cheeses that he hand-grated from blah, blah. So it's a fuck ton of work.
I agree with you. See,
yeah.
People think of lasagna as like a basic comfort food. I agree with you. It ain't. It's actually, it takes some serious work. And then after that, next time, instead of doing a main, he does a dessert. So he brings a homemade lemon meringue pie with like gorgeous meringue peaks.
Right.
A walnut basil pestle Brussels sprout roast. And then the next time he brings coconut cupcakes. And of course, he hand ground the coconut flesh, right? With cream cheese, buttercream frosting. And then the next time he brings a garam.
Someone hungry, Maria.
It's almost lunchtime for me. A garam masala linguine with butternut squash, kale and brown butter.
Someone's reading a menu.
I had to look up that last one because I was like, I need something that sounds really elaborate. And my foods are not that elaborate.
Okay, so he's fancy. He's fancy and he's talented.
Have I driven that point? He's fancy and talented and he's hot and everybody loves him and everyone's his best friend. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Here's his beef. Here's his beef. Rosa, the host of these potlucks, she gives everybody, including Tay and Angelo, who basically do little to nothing, she gives everybody leftovers. Okay, no, I know. You're laughing because it's my reaction too, because I have no problem with this.
Okay.
But there is actually like a genuine question, because here's the deal. Okay. Jerome is like, fine, whatever. People need to eat. You show up to a party, especially, and the host gets to do whatever they want, and they can give people leftovers to take home. But these two folks, Tay and Angelo, keep showing up basically doing little to nothing. And Jerome's getting kind of mad. So for the next party, Jerome's like, I'm just bringing a cheese tray. Like on the group text, he's like, I'm just bringing a cheese tray. I'm sorry, I'm way too busy. Like I can't do my normal thing. And Rosa gets a little mad. She's like, you can't do that. You need to bring something more substantial. You know Tay doesn't cook. And Angelo especially doesn't cook.
And but doesn't Rosa cook?
Yeah, but not enough. Like, she expects Jerome to, like, put in some of his normal work that everyone has come to expect from him. And Jerome counters and he's like, listen, I'm putting in a ton of work. And he doesn't say it, but she kind of picks up that it's bothering him that she's giving the non-cookers some leftovers, especially from his food. And she's like, listen, this is about getting together and having fun and having the experience of a shared meal. Like, this is not about keeping score. And Jerome's like, yeah, you say that, but I'm the one spending hours cooking and showing up to your party and making sure it doesn't get spilled on the way to your house. Meanwhile, you've got these two folks that come to your party, show up basically empty handed, expect to get fed and then take home substantial leftovers. And like, I'm not OK with that, because in Jerome's mind, he gets to take home his own leftovers first. It is not the host's job. As the potluck food bringer, he gets to take his own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my question, because I heard you laughing, and I'm just like, yeah, I get it. Do you think that guests get to take their food home?
Were I Rosa having this conversation with Jerome, him telling me, look, this is the ish, this is the sitch, I would listen to him and I would say, you know what? I think you're right. We're just going to cancel these dinner parties.
Mm.
I would then have my buddies, David, Michael, Tay, and who's the other one?
Angelo,
over. And we may not have the dramatic walnut crust, whatever, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We'll just get takeaway Jerome, you know.
So actually, Jerome, you're the problem. Goodbye.
Because I have an issue. Like, I'm a cook, as you are, but I know that I spend a lot of time cooking, but I do it because I enjoy it, right?
Yes,
I like to cook. I don't do it for glory. I don't do it for fame. I do it because there's mouths and bellies feed.
Yes,
and that's my kick.
Yes.
And if they want to take it home, more the merrier, because I don't want to eat it all night, like in the next 3 days, because I'm a cook. So I want to cook more. So the more you take the leftovers, the better for me, because I get to do something cool the next day. So I don't get Jerome, and I'd say good riddance, buddy.
So your point of view is just remove Jerome from the equation entirely. Okay. That's fair.
I think if I have like a mega potluck something and someone brought a turducken and other people brought like a pea dish and someone brought one pack of Jello and didn't bother to put water in it, for example, right? And I get to choose who gets to choose first. I'm one of those people that has like, here's your little tray to take home, your little like whatever takeaway dish. Go feast away, grab whatever you want. Or the person who loved the food more, actually. Actually, I'm a sucker for that. I'm a sucker for someone who... So if you love something, you say it repeatedly, because then you get to go home with that stuff. Like, you...
That's... Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's keeping the antenna attuned. Yeah, I always... When I do a potluck, I always tell my friends, please bring, like, if you bring a Tupperware or something, or if I have some, I'll give them some. Just, like, bring something to take food home in, because, like, you're not leaving all this food with me. I'm okay divvying it up, and if you express an interest, I will give you more of that thing. But I don't think I have any friends who are, like, showing up with just a pack of Jell-O. But I know that that does happen. My friends are usually... Actually, my friends are always...
But I love that. I don't know. I think I've got friends who never, ever bring anything to parties. But they bring their humor. Or they bring whatever. Their
hunger.
Or...
Yeah.
Or they love to eat 15 dishes, which is really good at a potluck. Like, who knows? There's different requirements in a potluck, a successful potluck. And it's not just the cooking.
That's very, very true. News you can use, Sticky Pickles listeners. And I just said the name of our show wrong. News you can use, Sticky Pickle listeners. Okay.
Hashtag. That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do.
Get off your butts and review. Or don't. But it would be nice. And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram, and anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
See you guys this week. That's all we got left to say.
Yeah, we're done.
Ciao.
Bye. Wow. My goodness.
Let me pause that right now. Not fuck up.
Yeah, hit stop on the recordings.